when we face another test, we'll trust in Christ and live by faith, knowing that
Revelation 21, but you know, be a thousand and seven years, rapture, we're given our glorified bodies. Glorified bodies don't cry. And then they got the millennium, and then we arrive in the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, and God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no tears in heaven. Amen. Nothing to cry about, right? If you cry in heaven, you're in the wrong place. God made a mistake, right? And so we need to remember that. Thank you, Miss Inez. Well sung. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin to look at our text today, verses 1 through 6. We have a glorious ministry. In fact, the whole 4 weeks here is going to come from 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to chapter 5, verse 8. And why we don't lose heart. And we're going to be looking at our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. So I'm going to ask you, as we talk about why we don't lose heart because we have a glorious ministry, each week I'm going to share with you 4 reasons we don't lose heart, right from the Word of God and right from the lips and the pen of the Apostle Paul. Okay? Let's stand in honor of God's Word, if you will. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what the one that's described in chapter 6, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, one of the biggest reasons why I don't lose heart is because God has shown me mercy. Amen? Amen. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul is making a direct jab at the Judaizers. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or perishing. in whom the god of this world, little g, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, again, another jab at the heart of the Judaizers who were glorifying in themselves, but Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, what? For Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, talking about creation, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Son, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not only at creation is he talking about physical light, but God has commanded light to shine, spiritual light to shine in our hearts. Amen? And that is amazing. Father, I pray today, as we look at this text, that we'll draw comfort. And while we, in these times that we're living in, we don't lose heart, we don't give up, we don't quit. And it's like the Apostle Paul. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The days we're living in, we're bombarded by contrast in lying and violence and deceit. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with the lying that goes on in the liberal media. It's one lie after another. You can see, they could be looking at the truth right there, and they'll turn it around and make it completely different than what it is. And people believe in them. Low-information voters, Rush Limbaugh calls them, they believe anything that they say. I'm tired of all the lying. You know, it's just, thank God, that's another thing won't be in heaven. There won't be any lying in heaven. You know, it causes us to lose heart sometimes, to give up and to quit. And we give up and quit sometimes because other things in the ministry, right? A lot of preachers have given up. A lot of them have not defaulted by immorality or doctrinally, but they just get tired of it and they quit and give it up. A lot of them. Churches are closing all the time. Well, the key theme in this section, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, is don't lose heart. We faint not. Look at it again in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry we have received, we faint not. And he repeats that again in verse 16. Look at that. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewing day by day. So we faint not. We don't lose heart is what Paul talking about here. And above all, he had reasons to quit. None of us will ever be treated like the Apostle Paul. None of us will ever be treated like Jesus was. And so if any man wanted to quit, it was the Apostle Paul. But he did not quit. He did not lose heart. He did not faint. Now, as we go through these next 4 weeks, we're going to see what Christians can learn from the Apostle Paul's ministry. Example of how we can endure hardness and difficulties and not lose heart in the coming weeks. Today, we're going to be looking at we don't lose heart because we have a glorious ministry. Next week, we'll see that we don't lose heart because we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Boy, when I think about that, you are nothing but, and I are nothing but clay pots that God has placed and entrusted the gospel and the Holy Spirit in vulnerable, weak clay pots is what we are. And then because we have a confident faith, chapter 4, verse 13, we don't lose heart. Because we have a future hope, chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 8, we don't lose hope. Why would you want to lose hope in all that God has done for you and all that God is doing for you and all that God will do for you? Amen? So we don't lose heart. So what is it that kept him from fainting in the conflicts of life? I think there's one thing that kept the Apostle Paul going. He knew what he possessed in Jesus Christ. Instead of complaining, you'll not see anywhere. You'll not see that anywhere. Instead of complaining about what he did not have, Paul rejoiced in what he did have. And I hear people complain all the time, and I say, well, let's turn it. What? Look at what you do have, amen? Amen. Right. Don't focus on what you don't have, and not what's happening. Focus on what God is doing, and look at what you do have. And one thing, Brother Marcus and Miss Inez and Linda Brown, and I thought about that this week as I was standing there at the graveside. You know, it would be easy to lose heart, right? But look how God has blessed your family, amen? Look at what you have. and focus upon how good God is. And I tell you what, I'm glad God didn't give me what I deserve. If he gave me what I deserve punishment, I deserve hell. There's no person here that deserves any better than that. God gave us his mercy. Did not give us what we deserve, and by his grace, he gave us what we didn't deserve, and we stand before him. That's what kept the Apostle Paul going. So in our preaching text today, we see that we don't give up because we have a glorious ministry. This is why preaching through a book, this is why preaching through a text can illuminate that text for you. As you're ongoing, you never have to look for the author's intent. You never have to look at the context because you're living in the context as you preach through the book. And the context is in chapter 3. We have a glorious ministry. A glorious ministry that brings men life. A glorious ministry that gives them forgiveness of sins. A glorious ministry that brings them salvation, that takes them to heaven and makes them like Jesus Christ. A glorious ministry that transforms lives. Amen? And because we have this glorious ministry, we don't lose heart. I ought to learn by now not to brag on anybody. Because when I do, within about 3 months, they're out of church. But I just want to take time to brag on Tina Myrick. Amen? Now you at least stay at least 4 months, okay? God has done a work in your heart. Amen, church?
Amen.
And you love the church. You love your pastor. You love the Lord. You love the Word of God. And I just had to bring that out. And then there are others, but she's the most recent. We can see evidence of a transformed life, right? No, I didn't say perfect. She hasn't got where her pastor's at yet. But I'm saying you can see Christ doing the work in her, right? I could share with you texts that she's got with me, and she was literally heartbroken because she couldn't come to church that Wednesday night or Sunday because of pain in her chest, And I want to brag on that just a moment. I want to thank you for not losing heart and not giving up. And so because we have this glorious ministry, number one, we don't quit. Look in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have this ministry. There is not a believer here that God hasn't given a ministry to. There is not a believer here that has not been entrusted with the gospel. We have this ministry. And as we have received mercy, we faint not. So what Paul is saying here is he confessed to the Corinthians about his trials in Asia that almost brought him to despair. Look back over in chapter 1, verse 8. And thank you, in case you think Paul had no adversity, look in verse 8 of chapter 1. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. I mean, I could go into the meaning of those Greek words right there. Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. The Apostle Paul was the same way. He confessed that he was pressed beyond measure. It was only God's grace and what God had done for him that lifted him above his despair. In spite of all his great gifts, in spite of all his vast experience, Paul was human just like we are. That's something that we forget sometimes. Old Testament, New Testament, they are human frail. They had human frailties just like you and I do. Amen? They were human. They were human, and they experienced what we experience. But how can we lose heart when we're involved in such a wonderful ministry? Would God have entrusted us with this ministry for us to quit and fail? And y'all know what I believe what the Bible teaches. If in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, and they go off and they follow a false shepherd and they do this and they do that. And they don't continue because they have never been born again, right? They proved that they were not of us because they departed from us and went away, right? Now, how can we lose heart? If we're truly saved and we realize all that God has done for us and given us, how can we quit? How can we lose heart? Yes, we'll get discouraged. Pastors are some of the most discouraging people in the world. I don't even want to be around other pastors many times. We are a discouraging bunch of people. But you know why? Because we see what God has planned for his church, and we want people to be a little higher than what they are now, right? And even in my own life, I never quit learning how to preach. And you say, well, Brother Ken, you need to continue. A man said something on the TV the other day that just struck my heart. He said, if a preacher doesn't teach when he's preaching, then he's not preaching. Amen. That's what we do. There's the difference between preaching and teaching is so small. When the preacher gets up and proclaims the word of God, see, it's the content that matters, right?
Right.
If the preacher has no content, he's not teaching, right? And so I want to be, because I have this glorious ministry, because you have this glorious ministry, we don't quit. But then secondly, we don't quit because we don't deceive. Look in chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. These are some of the greatest passages, verses on the integrity and honesty in the ministry. Now, let's read this in chapter 4, verse 2. He says this, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This is Paul talking about his ministry. Not walking in craftiness. Brother Glenn, you did a good Bible study on that word craftiness. Not like the Judaizers, not like the false teachers, not the deceitfulness that they bring and the scheming that they bring, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is an image of God, should shine unto them. So what he's saying here, we don't deceive. Because we have this glorious ministry, we don't deceive. Why would we want to deceive when we have such a glorious ministry? When we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we have all that God can do and all that God has done for us, why would we want to deceive? Now think about this. Integrity and honesty in the ministry is very important. We've seen that the last few weeks with Jerry Falwell Jr. at Liberty University. We need to pray for his redemption. We need to pray for his restoration. We need to pray for Liberty University and what they've been through and how this man even spoke for Donald Trump. And now he's bringing shame on the church and on the university, right? None of us are beyond that, folks. We need to be very careful. So what Paul here talks about in verse 2 is he's certainly alluding to the Judaizers when he wrote these words. Many false teachers today claim to base their doctrine on the word of God, but false teachers handle the word of God deceitfully and deceptive. And I've shared this with y'all before. Once in a while, I'll go to and listen to one of them to make sure I'm still on the right track, you know? And I get some good sermon illustrations. How they twist scriptures and people believe it because they're ignorant. They're literate in the Bible. And they twist especially Old Testament passages to manipulate the people, passages that were intended for Israel. And they twist them, right? And I told Brother Glenn the other day, I teach in the Old Testament. I've taught a lot of books in the Old Testament, but I look at myself as a minister of the New Covenant. And that's where I see my ministry. You can prove everything by the Bible, provided you twist the scriptures out of context and reject the witness of your own conscience. It's amazing how people will build a case for their lifestyle and what they believe, because it just takes a little manipulation. This is why I believe in the King James Bible. This is why I believe and take every word means something. Amen?
Amen. Right.
And we need to look at it. I got a guy in my Wednesday night class at the YMCA. He comes every week with a paraphrase, right? And he'll come up to me after the class and ask me a question, and he'll direct me to a certain verse. He says, well, I got a paraphrase. He even recognizes it. And he said, and he reads it, and I look, and I said, that don't even look like nothing the King James is teaching, right? You know, in a paraphrase, you're getting that writer's thoughts. In the King James, you're getting God's thoughts, right? And we need to know that. But these Judaizers, Paul said, I have nothing to hide in my personal life or in preaching. Everything is open and honest. There's no deception or distortion of the word of God. Did you see that in the latter part of verse 5, he says, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. And he says, I lost my verse here. Oh, yeah, latter part of verse 2. He said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Right? You can look at them and tell if they're living what they're preaching, right? So the Judaizers were guilty of twisting the scriptures to fit their own preconceived interpretations, and ignorant people would follow. Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, they will depart from the truth. Some will depart from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits. They will not endure sound doctrine. Brother Glenn and I, there's a lot of churches that we can't go to this morning, and there's a lot of churches that we don't want to go to. They would not stomach what we say, what the Word of God says. They want to be entertained. They want a shallow gospel. They want a shallow, good-feeling thing, right? And they don't care about looking at the depth of God's Word. I guarantee you, a lot of them would not even, if a man got up and actually got in depth into a certain passage and went in and really dug it all out, it would be the most boring thing to them. Can I say that? It would be the most boring thing to them, right? But the most boring thing to me is when there is no depth. Everything's shallow, right? So Paul was not like that. Notice verse 3 and 4 again in chapter 4. Don't deceive. Look what he said about that in verse 3 and 4. If Paul was such a faithful teacher of God's word, then you know, it bothers me. Why did not more people believe his message? Why did not more people believe Jesus Christ? You know that Jesus Christ today, and he is here, could be in this pulpit, there would be some walk out of here and not even get saved, right? So I don't worry about them walking out on me because they're walking out on Jesus, right? Why is that? Why are these false teachers so successful in winning converts? I didn't say souls. I said converts. Well, let me give you some reasons very quickly. Because the mind of the lost sinner is blinded by Satan. And fallen man finds it easier to believe lies than to believe truth. Why anyone would only want to believe the theory of evolution is beyond me. I mean, it is amazing. It takes, like y'all said, it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a believer. It takes more faith to believe in evolution. Of course, I tell you, I watched some of the riots in Portland and Atlanta and Kenosha and this, and sometimes I got to turn TV off because I began to believe in evolution. People are lost because they're dead in their spiritual nature. They can't understand spiritual things. They're blinded by Satan. He will do anything he can to keep them blinded so that the glorious gospel will not pierce their heart. There's another reason. Those who are lost or perishing cannot understand the message of the gospel. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. They're spiritually discerned. And so they don't have the Holy Spirit within them to teach them the truth. It's all foreign to them. It's like water off a duck's back, because there's nothing there until God quickens their heart. Amen? And gives them understanding. And Satan wants the glorious light of salvation to shine in their, doesn't want the glorious light of salvation to shine in their hearts. As the god of this age and the prince of this world, Satan keeps lost sinners in the dark. And Satan wants to keep you discouraged and down and losing heart, right? The sad thing is that Satan uses false teachers like the Judaizers here in our text to deceive people. And and there's no way, Brother Glenn, that we can ever compromise with a liberal church. You know, we're not in that group that says, oh, all you got to do is, if you believe in Jesus, but trouble is they got the wrong Jesus. And just love each other, come together, sing Kumbaya, and we're all in the same boat, and we're all going to heaven. That's a lie. That is a lie for the news media to get on there and talk about this virus and say we're all in the same boat. I'm not in the same boat they are. Amen. Right. My boat's going a different direction, amen, than what theirs is. And I'm telling you what, people are lost because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And Satan wants to keep you down and discouraged. He can't take your salvation, but he can rob you certainly of your joy. Amen? And that's the sad thing. Many of the people today, do you know that many people of the today that have left the church, the real church, and went to cults were originally members of a Christian church? But yet they've been deceived. Now that doesn't lose accountability for them because they're responsible for their actions. But because we have this glorious ministry, we don't deceive. Then lastly, Paul says, because we have this glorious ministry, we don't self-promote. All I'm doing is preaching the text to you. We don't self-promote. That's the difference between a false teacher and a true preacher. They will promote themselves. Notice what Paul said in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4. He said this, "For we preach not ourselves." Again, another jab at the heart of the Judaizers. It was all about them. "But Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants of Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Because we have received this ministry from Christ, it keeps us from being a quitter and a deceiver. But it also keeps us from being a self-promoter. Who gives us the right to promote ourselves above Christ, above the gospel? Paul says we preach not ourselves. The Judaizers enjoyed preaching about themselves and glorying in their own achievements. But not the apostle. He called it all dung and he called it all waste, what it used to be, right? They were not servants who tried to help people. They were dictators who exploited people. Do you know that the cults are just like the liberal politicians? And by the way, if any of you planning on voting for Biden, I don't know why you're still in this church, right? Just like they exploit people, this other party exploits people too. I think the RNC did a great job on making that come across. Next week, I got a quote by a guy that spoke at the RNC that was in the wheelchair. How many of you all saw that? And he stood up. And he says, "I kneel in God in prayer, but I stand for the American flag." Amen. And he didn't mention anything about BLM. He didn't mention anything about Antifa. He didn't mention anything about that. And the left jumped on him right away that they were a propaganda. They were saying and attacking the BLM and Antifa. Yeah. And I would tell you right now, in the sound of my voice, I was watching the Braves on Fox Network a little bit Saturday. They were on Fox rather than Sports South. And right away, John texted me and told me that the announcers were talking about, the pregame were talking about all this mess that's going on. And they were for BLM. And then I turned it over to another station, an NBA. I don't know. I stayed there and I said, "Well, I want to see what this is like." And it was all about Black Lives Matter. All over the court stood there. The coach of one team had a black jersey on the back of it, says, "Say her name." Yeah, folks, mark me down as a liar, but I'm telling you, I've given up on sports.
Yes, sir. Me too, brother.
I already given up on NFL and NBA.
Yeah, sure.
But now, I'm even giving up on the Braves. That's my choice. Thank you. How much money are you going to give me? But Paul was a man who certainly practiced genuine humility. He did not trust in himself or commend himself or his preaching himself. Neither does the preacher or teacher. He just preaches the word of God in its context with the authorial intent of the writer and lets it go where it may, right? It's not up to me to save anybody. It's not up to me to take them to heaven. I can't do that. But because we have this glorious ministry, we don't give up. He sought to lead people to Jesus Christ and to build them up in the faith. He didn't lead people to himself, right? I want you to think about this as we begin to close. It would have been easy for Paul to build a fan club, right? Can't you imagine it? And they did that at Corinth. "I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos," right? There was division over leadership. It would have been easy for him to build a fan club and take advantage of the weak and weak people who thrive on associating with great men. And I want to say this right away. You don't worship the pastor. You honor him, respect him, and you take care of him, and you love him. But we're not into worshiping pastors. Amen? Now, we have some we like to hear better than others because they preach better than others, right? But you're not. It's not the man that saved you. Yes, he might have led you to Christ, but we don't worship the man in the pulpit. Judaizers operated in that way, that Paul rejected that kind of ministry. And secondly, I want you to think about this. Why self-promote when it's not us who saves? It's not us who forgives sin. It's not us who imparts spiritual life. It's not us that takes people to heaven, right? What do we have to brag about? We just preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we think of this glorious ministry you've been entrusted with, we don't quit. We don't deceive. And we don't self-promote. Next week, I'm going to tell you what you and I really are. We're just clay pots, okay? Treasures and earthen vessels. Father, I pray this morning that you've spoken to our hearts. And you have spoken to our hearts. Like Brother Glenn said, it's a matter of whether we're listening. It's a matter of where we're hearing to understand and obey. Father, thank you that you've given us this glorious ministry, and what are we doing with it? Are we just a part-time attender? Are we involved in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Father, if there's one here today that is not saved, I pray today will be the day when they come to Christ in repentance and faith and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to learn more about what this preacher is talking about by uniting with this local church, being baptized, uniting with this local church, and being a growing Christian. So, Father, your will and way is what we want today, so we give it to you. The altar is open, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.